What we're going to talk about this morning is our topic about Christ the healer. And if you have your statement of faith, I'm going to bring up one other thing that has caused a lot of folks not to want to socialize with us or join up with us, which is bizarre to me, because I think it proves that people aren't reading the Bible open-mindedly. I believe that what I'm going to talk about, they're not reading the Bible open-mindedly. So Christ the healer, and if you go to your updated statement of faith and go on the second page, you'll see that we believe in supernatural healing. Y'all see that? See where we're at? Now I'm going to read this to you. We believe that divine health is the perfect will of God for every person. Won't y'all say that with me? We believe that divine health is the perfect will of God for every person. Now that, whether you want to believe it or not, is a very, very controversial statement in the body of Christ, because it's quite obvious that all kinds of people are sick. It's quite obvious. Now, I'm going to repeat myself a little bit. It's also quite obvious that all kinds of people aren't saved. So if you don't realize that, you're living somewhere else than where I live. So it's obvious that all kinds of people aren't saved, yet we believe that it's the will of God for everybody to be saved. Anytime you want to say amen, you can. And yet, not everybody is saved. In fact, there's less people saved. There's more people lost than there is saved. Jesus said that. He said, the gate's wide to destruction. It's narrow to salvation. But when you come to the topic of supernatural healing, we believe that divine health is the perfect will of God for every person. I'm going to put the verse up. 3 John 1:2. It's only one chapter. All right. Now let's look up here and study this a minute. We got a nice small Sunday school group. That's what I consider this to be, is Sunday school. If y'all come here and it's 10 o'clock and y'all want to go somewhere else and worship somewhere and fellowship somewhere, I don't have any problem. I want you to come to my Sunday school class though. Amen? Can I just go ahead and say something? I don't think you'll find a better Sunday school teacher. I'm sorry, but praise God. You ought to feel that way. You know, if you play golf, you ought to feel like you're decent enough to beat the guy you're playing, especially if you get more strokes than he does on the green or on the golf course. Anyway, let's dissect this verse. It says, Beloved, what are we called in the body of Christ? Beloved. Not sinners, not reprobate, not God's out to get you. Well, some people just are drawn to that. I don't understand that. Beloved, I pray, and really the better word here is I desire that you may prosper in all things and be in health. But I think I'm one of the few people that take this verse a little further. See, I desire that you may prosper in all things and be in health. But notice, just as your soul prospers. See, your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. You know that? And none of us, there's not one person I've met, not one, has total control over their soul. If they did, you wouldn't be mad, and you'd never get mad at anybody. How many of us got mad at somebody? How many of us have total control over our emotions? Oh, my goodness gracious sakes alive. Huh? Man, my baseball team got eliminated from the playoffs, and my emotions didn't like it. Although Kentucky, Leslie, I'm sorry to have to tell you, pretty much wiped the floor with the University of Florida. Woo! But not everybody, nobody's got complete control over their emotions. And then your will. How many of you always do what you want to do? Oh, that's the book of Romans chapter 7. We want to. If you're born again, you want to. You want to always be nice to your wife, right? You always want to be nice to your children, but Jordan will testify that that's not always true. Now, Teresa will never say I haven't been nice to her. Frank, you think that's the truth? No. So the reason I'm dissecting that verse a little bit is because look at the next statement. After we say that we believe that divine health is the perfect will of God, listen to the next thing I say. We also recognize that few people will walk in this truth. All kinds of reasons for that, all kinds. And you can't get it all covered in a 50 to 55 minute Bible lesson. But the primary reason is because hardly anyone has control over their mind, their will, and emotions. Hardly anyone is walking in the fullness of the revelation of God's healing, and hardly anyone spends enough time in the Word of God to renew your mind that God's not the one making you sick. I'm talking nice and slow this morning, and that's absolutely the truth. Are you listening to me? And I'm going to go into that in more detail with other verses. Healing, I'm reading again, healing for the physical body is provided the same way salvation is provided. It is by grace through faith. Little review. Why is that so much harder to believe than salvation? You should be able to answer this. Why is, and there's a classic story about the paralytic that got let down on the roof that'll tell you the reason for that. See, the healing of the physical body is provided the same way that salvation is provided, but the reason that that's harder to overcome is that if Teresa tells me she's safe, first of all, I believe her, and I know she is, but I don't really know that I know that I know, but you can't see salvation. But if somebody comes in here with an awful head cold or runny nose or a sore throat or a fever or cancer or heart disease and they're barely being able to even get up and be prayed for, you're looking at what they look like. Are you listening to me? You're looking at what they look like. And so the natural mind, the soul, tells your heart or tells your conscience, well, they're not well. They're not healed. They're sick. And they are. They are. If they're born again, in their spirit, the healing power of God resides in them. And if they're born again, there is a place in God where you can draw that healing power out and manifest it in your physical body. Romans 8:11 says, if the same spirit that dwells in you, maybe you ought to put it up so I'll quote it right. Romans 8:11, but if the spirit, listen to this now, this is cool. This is really cool. Listen, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, listen to this, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. See, that's the truth. That's what's on the inside of you. But you've got to understand that came to you by grace. God gave that to you by grace. But you have to appropriate it out into your life by faith. And we'll do it with salvation. Somebody will tell you, Jesus died for their sins. He rose from the dead for your justification. You'll receive it, you'll believe it, and you'll draw that truth out, that grace that's provided for salvation. You'll manifest that in your life because you'll believe it. But here, this verse, your mind, will, and emotions will do everything it can to talk you out of it because your natural human part is in enmity with God. It's not attracted to God. It's not prone to God. It has to be taught and trained. And it has to be meditated on and thought about until it dawns on the inside of you, just like it dawned on the inside of you that you were saved, that it'll dawn on the inside of you that you're healed. Praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. You see that? The Bible emphatically teaches that Jesus is the healer. And I'm going to get to those verses in a minute. Now listen to this. This is fascinating, and this is another reason why we've missed it. We do not have to pray for God to heal us. We simply need to renew our minds to this truth from God's word and receive by faith what God has already provided by grace. If you don't ever underline anything I've ever written, that's something that needs to be underlined and thought about. It's the greatest revelation I've gotten apart from Jesus dying for my sins and rising from the dead for my justification. I'm going to read it again. We simply need to renew our minds to this truth from God's word and receive by faith what God has already provided by grace. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's be honest. Let's get sincere. Let's don't play around. Is that easy to do? Absolutely not. I had an arm. I don't know exactly what it did. I think I hurt it driving that RV that Teresa taught me in to buy. That blasted thing, we had to drive it up to Lake Roosevelt, and you had to keep your arm on the steering wheel and focus. And I think somehow or another, I did something to my arm. It wouldn't have anything in the world to do with golfing. Couldn't. No, that didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, heck. But I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you with all sincerity, my arm hurt so bad. I couldn't use the keyboard with my left hand, and I'm left-handed. The girls had to come in and key all the stuff in for me, which actually I discovered that's the best way to do it anyway. So that I made that a normal thing. But this thing hurts so bad. But it's amazing, you know, and the Bible talks about this. You know, it's just another truth is that some people are stronger in other areas and some people are weaker in other areas. And that's why we need each other. The gifts of God have been dispersed by His grace. And it's been dispersed to everybody. Everybody has a gift. But I just kept speaking to the arm. I said, hey, no, you're healed. And it hurt. Oh, it hurt. You're healed. Is that easy to do? No. The girls that I work for, they said, Mark, are you going to go to a doctor? I guarantee you, if I'd have went to a doctor, they'd have started cutting somewhere in this arm. I don't know if it was elbow, tennis elbow or golf elbow or RV elbow. I'm going to hang on to the RV elbow, and that's the reason I sold that RV. I knew we were in trouble. It was one. I knew the RV wasn't going to work. It was me, Teresa, Jordan, and Anna, and that we got up to the campsite, and it was Teresa and Jordan that hooked everything up. And I don't want to be crude, but I think you'll get some funny out of this. The first time I used the restroom in the RV, I knew I wanted to go somewhere else where there was a hotel room. I don't like to hear that sound of that plastic. You know, I said, anyway, that's not easy to do. And it's the same thing if it's depression, if it's anxiety. It's hard to believe that you've been healed when you don't feel like you are. Now, you don't deny that you got something wrong with you. That's not right. That was mistaught in the faith message. It was mistaught. You don't deny that there's something wrong with you, but you put more credence on what God has done and not what your circumstances tell you. Abraham considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, you know, and I, since we're a small group, you know, it's just, I'm not going to lie, I'm third complete in Christ, but I still got my soul. And it's just amazing to me that more people don't want to listen to this stuff right here. This is another reason why people don't come here regularly. They don't buy it. They don't buy that God wants them well. All right? Now, listen to this. Recognizing that few Christians will implement this truth into their lives, we understand that we are to be like Jesus and have compassion on those suffering with sickness in their bodies. You know, don't get arrogant and think you're better than anybody. You're supposed to esteem others better than yourself as a Christian. Also something very hard to do. This truth applies to anyone under spiritual, mental, or emotional depression. I wrote all this by myself. Cheryl, do you know that? I wrote this. This came from my heart to this page. We believe we are called by God to meet people where they are and to minister the grace and love of God to them. So I want to say this. I've said this for 27 years. I want to say it again today because we got all kinds of people listening on the radio. Can I get an amen? Amen. I got to believe that. I got to believe it to keep me positive. And we got people that listen on the internet, right? I got to believe that. We believe we are called by God to meet people where they are and to minister the grace and love of God to them. So we have to meet people and minister to people wherever they are. That's why for 27 years I've told everybody, have health insurance, have it. Have it. My little daughter, my little sweet daughter that I talk bad about when she's not here, got up one morning with appendicitis. And she said to me, Daddy, take me to the hospital. You think, what do you think I said to her? No, by goodness, you walked that out by faith. That's ridiculous. I can't expect her to, you know all the stuff I know. And it's my obligation. She was in pain. She was hurting. She got her appendix taken out. Right? Jordan found out about it, came to see her after school and ate all of her lunch. He got up in the bed and ate all of her lunch. Amen. Amen. I believe in every Christian, it's perfectly okay for Christians to have health insurance. I believe it's perfectly okay for Christians to have life insurance. And I believe it's perfectly okay to go to professional help if you need it in any one of these areas. Personally, for me, I have to make that decision for myself, but I can't make that decision for somebody in my household or somebody close to me that is going that direction. Because then you can get them to apply their faith toward whoever is treating them, whoever's working on them. You can get them to build their faith up to say, you know what, they're going to do the best surgery that's ever been done. They're going to understand what's wrong with me. They're going to get it fixed. And again, when it comes to broken bones, things like that, you can't sit around and wait for the manifestation of God's healing when your leg hurts or your arm hurts. The greatest pain I ever experienced in my life was when I was a kid in the second grade. We had a swing set in our backyard, and me and a couple of the neighbor boys always liked to play Tarzan. Y'all remember Tarzan the Ape Man? Oh, man. Not as good as the new Tarzan that Teresa loves. My Tarzan was Johnny Weissmuller or somebody like that. Anyway, we were out in the backyard playing Tarzan. And so we also had a mulberry tree that was close to the swing set. And so, you know, we're kids. And so we got it in our head that we'd jump from the mulberry tree to the swing set. You know, and of course, sound like fun, don't Jordan? Anyway, old Marky, second grade, he decides to jump from the mulberry tree to the swing set, and instead of hitting the swing set and grabbing it, my left arm. That's why I can't throw a ball real fast, still to this day. True story. You know I can play baseball. Instead of grabbing a hold of the bar, this part of my arm caught the bar and went just like that and broke that thing in half. And they say to this day, they said that they could hear me screaming all the way down to the courthouse. Now, if you think that I was going to sit there and believe God to put that arm back together, you are way better than me, and you need to go on the road as an evangelist. My arm hurt, and I got it set and fixed, but again, I can't throw like I wanted to. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, there may come a time where God manifests this healing. You got to know it in your knower. You got to know in your knower that God wants me well, that God didn't make me sick, that God provided healing for me through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you know that in your knower and you decide to do whatever you need to do by faith, I'm for you. But if you want to go the other direction, I'm also for you for that. Does that make sense? So this is in that statement of faith. This is a wonderful thing. This and the decision-making process are probably the two best things I've ever written and put out for people. to study and comprehend. So let's talk about Christ the healer, and let's talk about why there's difficulty in this area. Are you listening to me? So we're going to put up a famous verse of Scripture in Matthew 8:17. Matthew 8:17. Now listen to this, and I want you to see something here. It says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I've been real sweet. How many of you think I've been real sweet this morning? And I'm going to lose some sweetness here in just a minute. So I want you to get ready. I'm going to lose a little sweetness here. But so far, I've been as sweet as I can be, or as possibly as I can be. But I'm going to rebuke the church for turning their back on the message that Christ is the healer. And I want to show you what's going on here. It says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Let's say that out loud. Get your lungs into it. Let's say it out loud. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That is a quote from Isaiah chapter 53, the great redemptive chapter that the prophet Isaiah prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to put this verse up next, Isaiah 53:6. Isaiah 53:6, this is a fabulous verse of Scripture. All we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to football. Is that what it said? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's the number one problem with people, with me, all of us. We're self-centered. We're self-centered. It's all about me, me, me. And so all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Listen to this. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Say that with me. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, if you are a Bible-believing, salvation-preaching church, not one single person will argue with that statement. Everybody at Sun Valley Community Church that I keep getting to use as an example, all the ministers, all the workers, all the teachers, oh, they believe that with every fiber of their being, and they teach that to 15,000 people on Sunday mornings. Are we against that? If you're against that, you have something desperately wrong with you. Because that, my friends, is the core or the number one thing you got to realize, that the Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. He put all of his wrath on his Son, the divine, sinless Son of God, so we could receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We stand before God, whether you know it or not, and some of these ministers, they don't understand it. They haven't gone to grade school. God looks at us through the lens of Jesus Christ, and we are righteous. If you sin yesterday, you're still righteous. If you sin today, you're still righteous. If you sin tomorrow, you're still righteous. And see, that blows the mind of the people that were brought up under that guy teaching in college. He even had a class in college in English, Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hand of an angry God. And it's true. It's true if you're not a saint. It's true in the sense that you need to get saved or the wrath of God is going to come on you because you didn't get your sins paid for. But I got mine paid for. Amen. You got yours paid for. Somebody said, if you preach this way, it'll make people sin more. No, if you preach this way, it'll make people sin less. I'm a living testimony to that. I still sin more often than I want to, but I don't sin thinking that I can sin and get away with it because I'm under grace. I don't want to sin because I am under grace. It's a true statement. If you get up every morning and you want to beat your wife and cheat on your taxes, boy, I just left a lot of people on the radio now, didn't I? And be mean to your kids and lollygag at work and try to do as little amount of work as you can do to get away with a paycheck, I doubt seriously if you know Jesus. That make sense? Now, does everybody agree that every evangelical, God-fearing, Bible-preaching church believes Isaiah 53:6? Well, guess what? Look at Isaiah 53:4-5, I believe, Jamin. Matthew quoted it. Matthew quoted it. Surely, listen to this. Now, Matthew does an interpretation of it. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Go back to Matthew 8:17. Matthew replaces the word griefs and sorrows with infirmities and sicknesses. See, because the English language is limited in how it can translate Greek words and Hebrew words. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Go back to Isaiah 53:4, and watch this. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains, our infirmities. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Oh, Isaiah 53 is required reading if you want to know the Word of God. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. You know, that's out of Isaiah 53. And that's before Isaiah 53:6. So if you believe that God laid on him the iniquity of us all, why can't we believe that himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses? And let me tell you something. The reason why this is not manifested more is it's not preached. We've surrendered to the world and we've surrendered to the devil relative to healing for the physical body for Christian people. We've surrendered it. Oh, God don't heal today. Healing's been done away with. God put that on you to teach you. You got awful sin in your life and God did that to you so you'd come back to him. I sat in a room with a pastor of a church in Sierra Vista. He was in the room, I was in the room, and another gentleman was in the room. The gentleman got diagnosed with, I believe it was prostate cancer. Val Nelson always gets on me because I always called it prostrate cancer. And that's not the prostrate's when you do something. So it's, yeah, you bow or something. You don't want to bow to cancer anyway. Anyway, he was in the room and he had prostate cancer. They wanted me to be in the meeting because he was attending this church. And I think one of the reasons he was attending this church is in order for him to be on the board or whatever he was involved in, he had to be hooked up to a local church. He had to claim membership in a local church. So that's why he asked me to attend. This minister in this room with this gentleman told him that God gave him prostate cancer so he would start going back to church. Then if that's how it works, every one of us ought to have prostate cancer. First of all, it's a complete violation of the life in Jesus Christ manifested as God in the flesh. That's not how God is. God's love. God loved that man. God cared about that man. God didn't want that man to have. You know what was so fascinating? I kept my mouth shut. I didn't feel like it was, you know, I don't know. The first thing that happened to me was I was so bewildered. And you know that guy, I'll never forget the expression on that guy's face. I think he was about to cry. And I thought, son, or he was older than me. I'm so sorry that there's people out there that tell people that stuff. It's an indictment. It's an indictment. I don't have the time because of the way our life is here, but it's an indictment because from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's manifested over and over again that Jesus healed the sick. Jesus didn't even go, couldn't even be around people that were sick, because sickness is not from God. God is perfect. Sin, sickness, and disease came into the world through sin, and that's why it's here. But Jesus, not only did God lay on Jesus the iniquity of us all, I'm going to say it again, not only did God lay on Jesus the iniquity of us all, but himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, and by his stripes we are healed. And I'm going to tell you the greatest cure, the greatest advice I can give anybody suffering through anything, and I do it for myself, so I'm not being hypocritical, is you got to meditate on that and think on that until that gets on the inside of you more than what's on the outside of you. You got to get that on the inside of you. The sower sows the seed. The good seed is received in the heart and bears fruit with patience, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. You got to realize that. You got to understand that the redemption that Jesus provided was for the total person, the total man, the physical man, the emotional man, and the spiritual man. See, that's the chastisement of our peace. That's part of that deal, the chastisement of our peace. Amen. And ministers won't preach this on a regular, consistent basis because they're looking at people instead of looking at the Word of God. And we're commanded in the scriptures to do the same things Jesus did, not different things, not leave part of it out. Now, again, I've gotten involved in X, which used to be Twitter. And I like that way more than Facebook, because you can answer somebody right away if they put something stupid on Twitter. You can just put a, you can, I responded the other day to George Clooney. How many of you heard of George Clooney? Oh, that good looking. He put something vulgar on there about somebody. You don't have to guess who. Somebody that, you know, the orange man. He put something totally vulgar on there, and I responded back. I said, George, how's that other fellow working out for you? And I said, somewhere in your deceived heart, you know that it's been a disaster. And I won't do the classless thing like you did and end with vulgarity, but I'll simply tell you, for the love of God, can you please go away? I like that. Now, should I do that? I'm not sure. Probably be better off if I just turned all that stuff off, but you know my personality. That's another reason why this thing ain't packed. Don't be coming up here and disagreeing with me. Don't you disagree with me. But, you know, I want to say this to you. I've come a long way on that, too. And a lot of people don't know this, but this is really the only place that I get to voice my theology. And I don't call it voice the truth. I don't get in fights with people anymore. I try to hand them books or lead them to some other way to maybe get some insight, but I'm not going to fight with you. You can't win anyway. Amen? Amen. It's part of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to tell people that Jesus not only bore their iniquities, but himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, and by his stripes you are healed. And somebody said, well, now that was Jesus. That was the great Jesus Christ. And we read the life of Jesus. The Lord put this in my mind yesterday. We read the four Gospels like it's a comic book. We do. We read it like it's a comic book. We read it like he's Superman. Where'd Superman come from, James? He came from Krypton? Is that why Krypton, he don't like Krypton? Oh, Kryptonite, yeah. What about Wonder Woman? Where'd she come from? Oh. Oh, you, all you got to do is ask. I would finance James to go on Jeopardy. Anyway, we look at Jesus like it's a comic book. Like he did all these things. He was God. He was supernatural. And once he left, that's all gone. You know, we're just flesh. We can't do anything. Well, that's funny. That's funny. Here's what it says in Mark 16:18. That don't line up. That dog don't hunt. Here's what it says in Mark 16:18. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Uh-oh. Listen, say it with me. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Every church service ought to have a laying on a hand service for sick folk in the congregation. Are you listening to me? So did Jesus expect it to end when he left? No, this was his command to the disciples before he was ascended at the right hand of God. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You know, they almost wiped out sickness and disease in the whole region of Jerusalem and Galilee. Wiped it out. Wiped it out. He sent his apostles out and gave them power over unclean spirits and to heal the sick. And then I know the Holy Spirit had Luke tell you that after he sent the 12 out, he sent the 70 out, and they did the same thing. I know Luke, the Holy Spirit did that because the Holy Spirit knew that somewhere down the line, they'd try to tell you that it all passed away with the apostles. Well, what about the 70? And then what about the people that followed the 70? And what about the great healing revivals of the 40s? What about all that? Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, Lester Sumrall. It didn't pass away. It's just that a few people understand the revelation and believe that Jesus' redemption also affected the physical body. Let me say this to you, because, you know, we've offered that to people in this 27-year period and gotten hardly anybody interested in it. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It reminds me of what Jesus told the guy at the pool of Bethesda that couldn't get into the water because somebody got down first in front of him. It reminds me of what Jesus said to him. He said, do you want to be better? See, you can get used to not being better. Amen. It's terrible. Terrible. But sooner or later, something's going to come on you that nobody can fix but God. Can I get an amen? Well, now let's see here. What did James tell us about sick folk? What did James tell us about sick folk in the church? What did he tell them? Is anyone among you sick? Well, you never know why God did that. Is anyone among you sick? Check yourself. You've probably got sin in your life. He even deals with this in these verses. Is anyone among you sick? Now, that's a question mark. Think about that. That infers that there wasn't very many sick people. You know why there wasn't very many sick people? Because the early church taught that himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, and by his stripes you are healed. But some people didn't get a hold of it. And he says, is anyone among you sick? Listen to this. Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, this brings up another story. Again, 27 years, I got a lot of stories. That's one good thing about doing something a long time. I got a lot of stories. I could tell you tax stories until you're bored out of your mind. But it says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. So number one, anybody that says, I'm an elder of the church, the first question you ought to ask them, are you laying hands on sick people? Oh, no. That doesn't happen anymore. That was passed away with the apostles. Then you don't qualify as an elder. Amen? Might be a good guy. Might love Jesus. You might be leading people to Jesus. But an elder of the church has to believe what this verse says. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them, more than one, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Jesus has been up in heaven about 30 years, 15, 20 years. So this is succession after Jesus, right? Now watch what it says in verse 15. Watch what. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Think about it. Think about what we've learned so far. Evidently, in order to pray in faith, see, you can't pray in faith unless you know God's given it to you by grace. You can't. See, you're double-minded. Kenneth Hagin said it this way, faith begins where the will of God is known. Andrew Womack says it this way, faith simply appropriates what God has provided by grace, which is kind of the same thing. I like that terminology better, because you got to know what God's provided by grace. But evidently, in order for these guys to pray in faith, they had to believe Matthew 8:17 and Isaiah 53:4-5. Can I get an amen? You can't operate in faith if you don't know God's will. James says you're double-minded, tossed by every wave of the sea, and let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. I got that verse backwards, but same thing, right? And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins. Man, you get a double blessing here, because let's say something else. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Here's another truth that a lot of people in the Word of Faith message didn't tell people, but you can very well be sick because of sin. Now, not always. If you got COVID-19, it wasn't because you sinned. It was because of China. Can I get an amen? But there are times where sin causes sickness. If you overdrink and abuse your body with alcohol, and the doctor tells you your liver's not doing good, you shouldn't go, well, I just don't understand. If you go to the doctor, and again, this is so cool. If you go to the doctor and you smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day, but you're now using the vape, and they say one of your lungs has cancer in it, you can't say, well, I just don't understand. No. Remember, I'll go back to the guy at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus heals him. He's whining and complaining because nobody put him in the water. Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk. He picks up his mat and walks. The Pharisees want to know who healed him. And he told on Jesus. After Jesus had healed him, he told on him. Jesus finds him and says, hey, now listen here. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So absolutely, sin can cause sickness, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the reason you're sick. Because you can just be sick because the world's corrupt and there's sickness out and about. Are you listening to me? But this verse says that if you're sick because of sin, the Lord will still heal you. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Oh, saints, let me tell you something. Let me finish this story. So I did a guy's taxes for years, Baptist preacher, and his wife, they left town, but his wife was really, really sick with cancer. So, you know, he was talking to me, and I said, well, do you believe in healing? And he said, yeah. Yeah, he said, we believe in healing. But he said, listen, he said, we prayed for and God didn't heal her, so it must be God's will for her to be sick. Now think about that. Think about that. Just think about the stupidity of that. And I looked at him like, dude, quit preaching. Do something else. Sell insurance. Do anything. Flip burgers at McDonald's. But if that's all you know about the Bible, you don't need to be teaching people the Bible. See, he deduced that because they prayed and because they're spectacular, see, that's another thing you got to understand. There's arrogance involved in that. We prayed, she didn't get well, so it's not God's will to heal her. What would you do if somebody came up to be saved? What would you do? Would you ever tell that person it's not God's will to save you? Would you ever say that to them? You'd tell them, God so loved you, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And you would encourage that person that if you make this prayer of confession, you are a saved person. If you pray that prayer of faith over that sick person and you're an elder of a church, you prayed that prayer of faith because you believe that healing is the will of God. And if you don't believe healing is the will of God, resign your eldership. See, I told you I had to get a little mean, but it doesn't look like it's going to affect the crowd that bad. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's a fact. So let's do this. We're going to have communion. I like teaching along this line. I'm going to have communion. We're going to do communion, and we're going to, but let's sing the song first, then we'll come up and receive communion, and that's how we'll close out our service. Again, the problem that when you teach along this line, I really believe you ought to open up the service for hands being laid on people so that we can heal you, because God's already healed you. But, you know, and if there's anybody that needs that prayer, let me do that this morning. Let me do that this morning. But let's start playing this song. It's an oldie, but it's a really good one. And then we'll come up and receive the elements. All right. Let's put up Matthew 8:17. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that? And if it's still in your head, if it's still just running around in your head, meditate on it. I'm going to finish this up probably next week. I'm going to just go through the volume of times that Jesus healed. I'm just going to go through the volumes of time that Jesus healed. If you're listening by radio or internet and you're suffering with sickness in your body, I want you to do the same thing. I want you to meditate on Matthew 8:17 and then look at all the healings that Jesus performed in the Gospel of Matthew. Look at all those. And then study out Isaiah 53. Amen. You know, if you really want to get better, you do something like this. You know what I'm saying? You do something like this. If the doctor tells you to take 4 pills a day, man, we take them, don't we? Huh? I just gave you a little good dose of medicine. As we take the bread this morning, we absolutely recognize that not only did he take my infirmities, but he bore my sicknesses and my diseases. And so 1 Peter 2:24, Jamin, 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins. See, this is dealing with the twofold redemption. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for right standing. And then next thought, by whose stripes you were healed. Hold the bread up and say this with me. Say, Father, I believe Matthew 8:17 and 1 Peter 2:24. I believe that not only did Jesus bear my iniquities, but he bore my sicknesses and my infirmities. So as I receive this bread that represents his body that was bruised for me, I boldly proclaim, by his stripes, I am healed. Let me say one other thing. That song we just sung was glorious and wonderful and God-inspired, God-breathed. But if we would sing just as many healing songs, we'd see a lot more results. If we just sing healing songs as though it's also done, we'd see a lot more results. But we've just kind of eliminated it in most of the mainstream church, and so it makes it difficult when somebody comes along and tells you God does want you well. Amen. But we're telling it, and we're telling it all over the world through the internet and all over Sierra Vista through the radio. So this cup, and this is in our 27-year anniversary, I tried to identify the greatest revelations I got. And I read something from Andrew Womack this week. One drop of blood from Jesus Christ, who was God, the Creator, one drop of that blood covered all the sins that will ever be committed. Just one drop. That's all it took, one drop, because he was the divine creator. creator of the universe. And he was the only one that could do it. God didn't send a man to us. God sent God. Amen. So as you hold the cup up, say, Father, I'm so appreciative for the blood of Jesus. It cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And it cleanses me from all sin. In the past, in the present, and in the future. By faith, I acknowledge through the grace of God that by the blood of Jesus, I am in right standing with you. You're not holding my sins against me. In Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. We got a little time. We've got some time. Does anybody need hands laid on them relative to sickness and disease this morning? Trace, go grab me that oil, please. Amen. And I'm going to share something with you that I've learned. And I'm going to be as transparent about this as I can. I've gotten revelation about this. But as soon as you came up for prayer, my mind went this direction. Oh, God. Heal, sweet, precious Maria. That's where my mind went. And that's not scriptural. That doesn't make sense. She's already been healed through the stripes of Jesus. You don't have to ask God to heal her. He's told us to lay hands on the sick and she will recover because the healing power is going to be released through me to her. And she's already got the healing power of God in her spirit. So all we're doing right now is acknowledging that, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I heal you through the glorious and holy, mighty name of Jesus. And we don't have to ask God to heal you. You were on his mind 2,000 years ago, and he bore all your sicknesses and all your infirmities and all your sorrows and all your pain and all your anxiety. And I am commanding you to receive that healing through me in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now turn around and tell everybody, I am healed. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's how it works. That's how it works. But I got to tell you, you don't know how I have to fight that. I mean, I go, oh, God, it's that old charismatic, oh, God. No, you're healed. Amen. You're healed. You're healed. You're healed. And notice this. Let me share this with you and everybody else. Notice what it says in Mark 16, 18. Notice what it says in Mark 16, 18, because I think sometimes we miss it here, too. And this is something that we need to talk about. Mark 16, 18. Listen to this. They will lay hands on the sick, which we just did. They, who's they? Followers of Jesus, believers in Jesus. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It may be a gradual thing. It may take some time. But the Word of God teaches that you bear fruit with patience. Don't turn loose of your confession. Believe you received when you prayed. Amen. Amen. Oh, I trust that our people are listening by radio and internet, and I get your attention. Amen. I get your attention. And maybe you'll have the boldness to share this with some people in your church that's telling you that God don't heal people and that God makes people sick. Maybe you'll have the boldness to tell them that's a bunch of hogwash. Amen. You can tell them I told you. Glory be to God. Father, we're just so grateful to you this morning. Yes. The most important thing that I'm grateful for, well, it's the same thing because Jesus is the Word and the Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word and the Word is Jesus. But I am so grateful that holy men of old put these things down in Scripture so we could get them in our hearts. And I pray that people that are listening to me today by the radio and by the internet, that the healing word of God has gotten planted in the heart of the sick person, and we speak healing and we pronounce healing over everybody that's listening this morning in their emotions, in their physical bodies, in their relationships, because Jesus Christ died for the total man. We give him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.